Well, here's something you don't see very often. An 89 Baby G. That's a G-Wagon with two doors and five cylinders. Does anybody want that? Is it too weird? Doug DeMiro will find out on Cars and Bids, and you're going to find out right now. Let's get after it. You guys know what that sound means. It means it's time for a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting car day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. Welcome everyone. On behalf of producer Patootie right here, I'm John Pollock in the Container Park in downtown Las Vegas, where our studio is at, as well as my partner Michael Deeb in San Francisco in the yet-to-be-named studio. Help us out. What should we call this studio, Michael Deeb?
Yeah, I don't know. Deeb's Dungeon?
Deeb's Dungeon.
I think I said that before.
The Green Fist Room, something like that? Fisting Room?
Yeah, the Vroom Room was pretty good, I have to say. That one's probably in the lead right now, but I you know, let's hear it, man. As we get to 1,000 subscribers, we'll pick a winner from that, or we'll post the top three or four candidates and let everybody vote on it, and we'll figure it out. But whoever comes up with the winning bid should get some free stickers and maybe a Speedo, a Bid Nerd Speedo.
Love it.
Or a Vroom Studio
Bid
Nerd Speedo.
Speedos. That's what I'm wearing right now. You guys can't see below the camera. Luckily, I can't reach it to tilt down for you. But Michael Deeb and I, that's pretty much our daily wear. All right. This is, look, a lot of new people joining the Nerd Herd, Michael Deeb. People are discovering us.
Welcome.
So thank you. If you are new to the program, you found us on one of the, podcast platforms like Amazon or Spotify or any of those, Apple podcasts. Thank you for checking us out. If you're checking us out right now going, all right, I'm out of here. These guys are talking about G-strings and all kinds of stuff that I'm not signed up for. What we actually do on this channel is we dig through all the automotive enthusiast auction sites like Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, P-Car and more, just like you do probably. It's pretty easy to get addicted to these platforms, right, Michael Deeb?
I think so. There's some that are super compelling. I love listening to Chris Harris and a few of the other guys that that I like to watch regularly.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about BAT and Cars and Bids. It's easy to get addicted to the car auctions.
Yeah,
and you're talking about our competitors.
Chris Harris's newest stuff is because he's actually hired by Collecting Cars, which is a UK-based Bring a Trailer platform,
okay.
Which you would love, JP, because not only do they sell cars, they also sell watches.
They know that
the guys who buy those cars are big in the watch game. And the other thing they sell in the UK, which we don't have as big a deal here in the States, are the vanity plates. Vanity plates in the secondary market go for big money in the UK. Not the crazy money they get for them in Dubai, but in the United Kingdom, or at least in England, they don't have, like, we have 50 different states of plates, right? But in the UK or in England, everybody uses the same basic plate. So to have a vanity plate is kind of a prestige thing, and they pay big money for those. They put those on the auction site as well. So anyways, Collecting Cars, if you haven't checked it out, it's kind of a neat thing. We should cover one of their cars. They do list cars from the United States, so maybe one of these days we'll do a Collecting Cars United States listing and we'll review that platform. So we'll put that as our spring to-do list.
Maybe our friends over at Guy's Custom Bracelets should advertise
yes.
over there. Look at that. Yeah. Guy's Custom Bracelets, GYX_Customs on Instagram. That's the only place you can get them. You order them directly from the artist, and she will make you a bracelet that matches your car or your watch
PTS.
Or both. I'm wearing my Casio today with my Guy's Custom Bracelet that happens to match carbon fiber and all kinds of cool stuff on it. The bracelet is worth a lot more than the watch today, but that's all right. Everybody loves watch. Have you gotten yourself a Tag Heuer now that Brian Gosling is out there slinging Tag Heuers with Porsches? Did you see that commercial we talked about last week?
Yeah, I still haven't watched the commercial. I have to watch it, but I like when we saw how they showed the girl jumping onto the hood of the Porsche and basically denting the roof of that car. The owner of that car that lent it to them to do the commercial is probably cringing
watching
that stuff.
They had to know that was going to happen. I mean, come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're going to have a person jump on the roof of your coupe, 911 coupe. It's gonna dent it. There's no way around that. Sorry, guys. All right. So yeah. So we find the most interesting car of the day. We make a prediction of what's gonna happen with that car's auction results, and then we marry our always wrong predictions with what actually happened. So stick around to the end of this episode, and we will reconcile our predictions with the actual results of the car's auction. And that's where it gets kind of interesting, because you can play along. You can put your bid in the comments below and see if your bids are better than what our bids tend to be. It's a lot of fun. It's like The Price is Right, only with enthusiast cars instead of blenders and washer and dryer machines. Rice-a-roni. I like saying rice-a-roni because you're in San Francisco, Michael D. I'm sure that's right. You serve rice-a-roni at your restaurant at the Knob Hill Cafe?
No. We sell Italian risotto. We don't mess with that that crap.
Maybe the Carrera Cafe at God and Porsche of Las Vegas has rice-a-roni. I want some rice-a-roni now. I'm going to go down there and hang out with those guys later because they're awesome.
They definitely don't, even though one of their girls is from the Bay Area.
Well, they have a better selection of classic or Porsche classic parts than they do rice. So that's why you're going to go down there and visit them anyway. So go say hello to our friends at God and Classic. They support us, so we like to support them. All right, Michael Deeb, what is the most interesting car of the day today? Is it even a car? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, JP, we haven't covered a real SUV in a while. So Doug DeMiro's site, Cars and Bids, has for offer and your enjoyment this 1989 Mercedes-Benz 300 GD, which does not stand for goddamn. This is a European market G-Class with a 5-speed manual and diesel engine. They're four-wheel drive, and the car is on a U.S. title. Our car is showing 61,800 miles, but because it spent most of its life overseas, they do list it as TMU, true mileage unknown. But it is on a clean Montana title, and the car is located in Hoboken, New Jersey. JP, I don't know a lot about these cars, but I had two Dodge Raiders / Mitsubishi Monteros in black with manual transmissions and big four-cylinder engines. And when I look at this car, this looks like the upmarket version of the vehicle I had. And I had two of them. So I drove that car for a lot of my early adult life. Like, you know, in my early 20s, I ran a Dodge Raider a couple different times. So the equipment on these things, JP, locking front and rear differentials, got a skid plate, 16-inch wheels, and a trailer hitch. But these are the early versions. This is not the car that was designed to drive around, the shopping mall in Newport Beach or be parked on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills like a G-Wagon is today. These were the early true overland cars that, were used on dirt roads throughout Europe and other parts of the world. And as such, you know, the cloth interior, the manual gearbox, the diesel inline 5-cylinder engine, all of that lends itself to being a real off-road vehicle. I feel like a fraud speaking on behalf of these cars because I grew up in the city. I don't know these that well. JP, they got about 90 horsepower, 126 pounds of torque, not a turbocharged motor. I imagine this is one of those vehicles that you could drive to the end of earth with no oil in it, and it would still start up and get you out of trouble and escape the falling rocks or whatever's happening in the movie climax. But JP, I'll just send this immediately back over to you because I bet you could speak more about this than I could. I will say this, that boxy design has aged really, really well. This car looks masculine, it looks tough, it looks durable, and it is. And these cars kind of have a cult following. They were never sold in this itineration in this country, but they still don't bring good money. This one seems to have low miles, be an attractive black colorway, and looks to be in really clean condition for a used vehicle. What else do we need to know about this? What do you like about them? And is there anything you don't like about these cars? Send it to you, John. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you're right about this car not being that kind of typical mall hopper that you see, you know, cruising down the Vegas Strip here. If you
roll up windows.
Yeah, if you, if you own a dispensary or if you have a hip-hop album dropping on Friday, This is the vehicle of choice. Our friends over at, was it Royal Exotics? That's the place where you can rent an exotic vehicle here in Las Vegas. They rent these out all the time. And this is like one of the most repoed vehicle that they have. Like what happens, these guys come in, they'll have their girlfriend that has decent credit rent, you know, like a G63. And then they'll, you know, some dude will be the one that actually goes and drives it around. So, and then they have to go repo it at some just crappy, apartment building on the east side. I mean, it's amazing how often that happens. Cause they want to use it and be a baller for like a music video or something like that. And then they just wind up keeping it and just ruining their girlfriend's credit. So this is, this is not that, right? This is a genuine, you called it, you said an Overlander vehicle. That is exactly what this is. This is, I mean, this thing's not, it's good. A current G-Wagon, even like a 550, right? Even like a one from 2000, like a G500, with the 8-cylinder. Those are great cruising cars. They are fantastic down the freeway. This one ain't going to be so much. You're going to be, if freeway speeds are going to be a challenge in this thing. This thing wants to be off-road. So if you needed a vehicle just to cruise around the city, like you, where you're in, like,
right.
Like you live in the city. You don't have to cross a bridge, right, Michael Deeb? This would be a great around San Francisco because you wouldn't care about the trolley tracks or the holes in the road or anything. And you don't need to go over 55 miles an hour. You're good. This is going to be great. You're going to crawl up anything. But as soon as you need to go freeway speeds, you're going to have an issue. The other thing, this is the perfect San Francisco vehicle because it has no air conditioning. It's always cold where you're at.
Yes, it is.
Whereas a current G-Wagon, they are the lap of luxury. You can go 150 miles an hour, you know, effortless power. It just defies all logic that the new ones are as fast as they are because they are just aerodynamically a brick and they're a trillion pounds. This vehicle, not that. This is the utilitarian vehicle for someone in a climate that is temperate, because it has heat and that's about it. And you can look really cool, and this one does look to be in good condition. I would not want to be in this vehicle on the East Coast when it's hot and muggy out, because it's going to suck inside of this thing. I'm trying to get to the photos underneath. I mean, look at it. It's got roll-up windows. How awesome is that?
Yeah,
that's fantastic. That's what I was mentioning. An Overland that's vehicle. But not for the baller. This is, you know, baller on a big baller on a budget's going to be pretty disappointed with this thing. Because they're going to be like, yo man, where's all the, so look, no air conditioning. This has got a power steering pump. That's pretty cool.
Crazy. No AC. That's unbelievable to me.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, this is more like a Land Rover, you know, an old, you know, not a D90 Defender that does have air conditioning, but
no,
like
but
the actual
early
European ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, but terribly reliable, absolutely a zombie apocalypse rig. The roof doesn't come off of this, so you can be safe from, you know, no zombies are going to bite your brains. And it does look like this thing is, look, here are the underside pictures. I was really concerned, this being an East Coast car, that it would just be roached out, but this thing looks really good. This car belongs in the Northwest. This car belongs on the coast somewhere. It looks like it's got some pretty gnarly oil leaks there on the transmission to the main seal there. But you know, whatever, it really doesn't matter. You probably just keep putting oil in it, it'll be fine. I like this thing. This is pretty cool. Would love this half the year in Las Vegas, and the other half of the year it would just have to pretty much be parked.
Yeah.
Those locking front and rear diff means this vehicle can go to the ends of the earth. But yeah, that's why they're kind of not worth nearly as much as the four doors. Like a baby G, like a 2000, 2003 baby G convertible, those things are worth all the money, because they do have the air conditioning and stuff like that. But this vehicle is for someone who needs a purpose vehicle. So what do you think is going to happen with the results on this? What's this thing going to bring?
So JP, our car closes in about 3 days from the time of recording. Last night it was around $12,000, but as we're recording today, our car is up to $13,600 on 20 bids. I don't know a lot about these vehicles, but I know they're not worth a ton of money. Like you said, it's not the baby G with the soft top and the big roll hoop. This is really just a utilitarian vehicle, and it doesn't have a turbo or AC, so it's super, super niche. And as such, It just brings utilitarian money. So I'm going to put $1,000 on my bid and send it back to you at $23,000. I think this car finds a new home for $23,000 on Cars and Bids 3 days from now, but I don't know the vehicles. So JP, I send it to you. What do you think? You think it's worth more than that or less than that?
Man, it's the, geez, that is a very good bid because I don't think it's worth more than 29. The question is, does it make 25 or does it even break 20? It's on Cars and Bids, not the best place for it. Sometimes
you really think that? I think Cars and Bids is actually a good place for it. He sells so many SUVs.
And he does well with weird stuff. That's true.
Yeah. This is the weird thing he can sell well, I would think.
I'm pretty sure if I had one, he has a baby G or had one at some point.
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, he says he has one.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Yeah, I'll go 25. I'll bid the slightly over.
The over?
Because it is a looker. I mean, it's black on black. It's got the wheels. It's got the roof rack. I could do without the modern, not period correct LED light bar on the nose there.
I think me too. I would pull it right off.
Terrible, but that's an easy fix, right? So... yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to say 25 and say I'd be happy with over 25. The only problem is it's like at 25, you could get an awesome like Jeep TJ, you know, like a 2003 right. to 2005 and have something that you could actually go on the freeway. It's not going to be as baller looking at this, but
would have AC and you could use it year round in Vegas.
Yeah, you know, so something like this is definitely an extra car. Maybe someone, it's in the Northeast, so it's not something that you're going to like go, oh, okay, I'm going to go to, you know, like if you found the perfect old 911 or something like that, you'd be like, yeah, I'm flying to New Jersey and I'm going to drive it back to California or something like that. That'd be an epic road trip of a lifetime. That would be unfun in this because you're doing it at 50 something miles an hour across the country. Not as fun. You're not going to be able to enjoy the back roads and the twisty roads. And maybe you find a dirt road way to go through it. But yeah, you're going to have to ship this car. So it's going to be another few $1,000. And I think if you want something like this, you can find it where you're at and not have to pay those extra thousands of dollars to bring it. So this is going to wind up in, this would be a great vehicle for somebody who has a beach house up in, you know, the Hamptons or something like that, and just wants to tow the boat or maybe out on Long Island or something like that. But I don't know, not feeling it. I do want it. If it were here, it'd be something I'd be looking at, but not across the country.
I'd like to have it too. JP, you rinsed me out last week. Last week you won every one. So I think I did that
the week before too. I remember correctly.
I hope I get one of these this week, including this G-Wagon. It's time for me to get back in the game. Maybe that's why I haven't gotten the job offer yet, but we'll talk about that if and when my phone rings. Here we go, John. What's going to happen? Let's see.
All right, let's find out. I think we've got Lucky Lopez is coming in here in the in the future machine with us. He's going to be here in just a second, so let's see what he has to say. Hey guys, I got to tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've got to call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. All right, here we are in the future. You guys are hanging around. Thank you so much for sticking around for the results on this little G-Wagon. Check it out, Michael Deeb. Who's that next to you? Who's that guy? That guy. No, the other one. You know me. The guy over there. The one that's famous. What's he doing here? That's Lucky Lopez. Oh, my God. Lucky Lopez, how did you get here? You're in Las Vegas. You just come down to the Container Park. What's going on?
Yeah, as soon as you told me, do I want to get online and throw some really bad numbers at cars that are going at the auction, I said I would totally be there. And so today we're going to try to do our best jab at the baby G-Wagon.
Baby G-Wagon. All right, well, let's get to it.
Lucky Lopez is 2 for 3 this week. I'm already scared he's going to win this one. He doesn't even know what we're covering yet.
He's a trained professional, man. He's been in the business forever. He teaches car dealers how to do car dealer stuff. How can we possibly compete with that?
Yeah.
All right.
But you guys have your pulse on what the people actually want. I'm just actually going by reality numbers. So
sure,
like we talked about earlier.
Sure. Yeah, we'll
it's
go
like
with
what
that.
We actually know what it's worth and what people are going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Do you ever check out, what is it, Rotten Tomatoes, their reviews of movies? how you've got like their, you've got the critic score and then you've got the audience score, and the audience score is always right on and the critics are always just completely off. I feel like Michael Dean and I are the critics. We just have no idea what the hell we're doing. And then we get an actual professional to come in and he just kills us. This is
crazy. Nails it. Yeah.
No, I think you, I think 9 times out of 10, you guys will beat it, but how hilarious would that be where you guys' numbers would show up? I would do that at the end of every video. Like, but what it's sold for, what your numbers do,
yeah.
Make that like the thumbnail and be like, I'm sure you guys would crush it.
That's a good idea. I love it. Yeah. How wrong we are all the time. Yeah. Let's watch these guys.
Oh my God.
All right. Let's get to the results of this G-Wagon. What do we got?
All right, Cars and Bids, Doug DeMiro's got this European market 1989 Mercedes-Benz 300 GD with a 5-speed manual and that, what is that thing, John? It's an inline 5, right? A 3-liter normally aspirated inline 5 diesel. These cars are 4-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. Our car is showing 62,000 miles, but because it came from overseas, it is listed as TMU. Our car is black on black with the cloth interior. It has some patina and a couple of little accessory modifications, but overall, it's a basic no-nonsense gray market car. And it's obviously from the generation before they became luxury cars and sold at the dealerships here in the United States. So when we were looking at this car last week, it was sitting at $12,500 on 15 bids. I thought it might go up to $23,000. JP, you thought it would go up to $25,000, and when you took the over, I really started to think I was in trouble. Lucky, are you familiar with the baby G's, and do you care to venture a guess as to what you think this car would have brought on Cars and Bids last week?
Actually, I am looking at one just like that. That's a gas engine. That is a manual in California, and I offered the guy $35,000 for it. He has it listed for $45,000, so I'm guessing this one's going to go over both of your numbers. So I would say 4250.
Do you think 42? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Michael Deep.
No, you go ahead. You just,
Well, 4250, good bid. Do you think the inline five naturally aspirated is this more or less desirable than the big V8 one?
It's way less desirable. I mean, that thing's a pig. It's it's going to be so slow. It's not going to be able to get out of its way. But my thing was the joke, like we used a baby G-Wagon. I'm actually building a G6x6 right now. So I wanted to get a one like this and put the actual hub adapters on there so we can make it almost like a G square, but a two door. So I can't wait for this one. I'm hoping these people accept my bid, but I actually love these cars. They're very rare. Most of the ones that I've seen here in the United States all came from either South Africa or actually, is this one left-hand or right-hand drive? I should ask.
It's left-hand drive. It's a left-hand drive. I think it was sold in Germany brand new, but I'm not positive.
Okay, so if it's left-hand drive, let me amend that to $38,500.
Oh, he's changing up his bid. Okay, all right, here we go.
Okay. All right, so lucky for the first time, I think you're going to come in third place only because you outkicked your coverage. Our car sold for $30,000 even on 40 bids, which is the most action we got of any of the cars we looked at last week. JP, you won this one because you were $5,000 apart on your $25,000 bid, and I beat Lucky by $500, and I just want to say this on the air in case somebody throws a pie in my face next week. I just want everybody to think I wasn't like the redheaded stepchild all week. But interesting result. What do you guys think of that number?
Yeah, go ahead, Lucky.
Shocked. Oh, sorry. I didn't see the interior pictures of it. So, like, the one that I'm looking at has leather seats. It has the modern G-Wagon interior. So this one's a little bit more of a flashback, more of a military style, but still very cool.
Yeah.
I just think the fact that these literally never change the body style, you can get the 2017 front end upgrade and slap it on there, and it looks just like a brand new, like, 2018 and below G-Wagon. That's what I was going to do with the one that I had once we actually put the portal axles on there and lift it up. But I mean, just amazing cars. I think the two doors are even more rare. As you guys know, Doug actually has a Geldewagen that's a convertible, which is even more rare, and those things shot up in price ridiculously. So, but yeah, the one I'm looking at's a little bit different than that one. Mine has power windows and everything, so this one is very prehistoric. I probably should have looked at the numbers. I probably would have said exactly, I would have said like 31 or 30 grand. But yeah, the one I'm looking at has power everything. It looks literally like a like a 2000 and above G-Wagon, just with all that same interior.
Interesting.
I think with
JP, what do you think?
Yeah, with, you know, if with a V8 one, you know, updating to that kind of G63 look or whatever, okay, fine, I get it. That makes sense for something like that. I wouldn't do that to this one. I actually love this G-Wagon. I absolutely, and honestly, I prefer it over the bigger ones. I know that it's gutless. I know that it's just not the same thing. But this is a vehicle that you could make a true overlander. You know, it's pretty much there. It's already got the off-road tires. This is a car that, yeah, you're going to only be able to go 60 miles an hour on the freeway. But as soon as you want to go off in the desert and rip up a, you know, some dirt road, you know, this is the car you want. This is a real vehicle that can actually do the things that G-Wagons were intended to do. G63s, you know, come on, who's gonna take the in the dirt other than our friend Rami? Who's ever gonna use that, you know, full diff lock? People just don't use that stuff. They're just mall crawlers. And don't get me wrong, I love G-Wagons, I love G63s, I love G-Squares, I love all those vehicles. They're one of the most fun vehicles to just drive around. But you know, something like this, how awesome would it be to have an actual G63, like, you know, like a, you know, call it a 2016 or something like that, and then this little one parked next to it and ready to go off in the dirt. This would be, that would be a really cool garage. Rowing through the gears. The biggest problem with this car, the reason why I wouldn't buy it, frankly, is because I'm in Las Vegas and this one doesn't have air conditioning. Whereas the one I'm sure you're talking about, Lucky, with the V8 and all the little bit more modern stuff, you can actually turn on the cool air. This vehicle would be pretty tough to own all black like that in August here in Las Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, mine has AC, but it actually has a gas 6-cylinder, so it doesn't have a diesel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it literally looks identical to that, just a little bit nicer. I'll send you pictures of it, but I'm hoping. But those, I guarantee you, like you said, that's one of the bulletproof cars you could take off-road, have fun. When you think about it, like, what did it go for, $30,000?
Like, $30,000, yeah.
A Hyundai SUV, one of the cheapest SUVs, is over $30,000 now.
Yeah.
So you can't even get that. So even if you want to buy a Hyundai to go off-road, you can't even get a new one. So just the fact, this is a perfect example of what you can get. The value and what inflation says it's worth are two different things. So for 26 grand or for 30 grand, I think it's a really good deal.
Well, you mentioned too, the body style hasn't changed. And I've been, you know, harping on this. I literally got to ride in a shuttle with the head engineer from Volkswagen back in, I want to say it was like 2010. We were in Mexico. We were driving from Mexico City to Puebla. And you know, so we had an hour and a half ride, and I was trying to, I remember sitting there trying to convince this German guy. I'm like, stop with all these bubbly looking Volkswagens. Stop with it. Take a Tiguan chassis and make it boxy and have the roof come off like a Jeep Wrangler. And he looked at me like I was the craziest American he'd ever seen. But could you imagine if they did that? I mean, Jeep Wranglers have been just eating everyone's lunch. They created a whole entire class for what, 15, 20 years now? And it's just now that Ford gets on board and says, oh yeah, maybe we should make the Bronco thing with the doors coming off and make it all boxy. You look at the G-Wagons, you look at Defenders, and you look at Wranglers and the values of those and how well they've held up over all these decades. Could you imagine if Volkswagen finally got off their butts and did something like that? Do you think that would be something that people would buy? Looking at you, Lucky, because you're the dealer guy.
Yeah. No. I mean, actually, it's funny. I just had this discussion not too long ago. Do you guys know what the Suzuki Jimny is?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
The old Samurais. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. The best modern SUV that you could see. They sell them in Mexico. They're only $12,000. I totally want to go down there and try to bring one back to the States. Yeah. If you guys look at it, it literally, they have a kit that makes it look like a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
But it's a 4-cylinder, 5-speed, little boxy SUV, nothing fancy, and it's sold out for 3 years in advance. Like, you can't.
Jesus.
I don't know why they don't sell them here in America, but that whole foxy is boxy thing, like, it is totally true.
Please continue. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's just, I remember Volkswagen's hatchback. Do you remember the whole foxy, not boxy, I think it was like S60 or T60? I can't remember. Yeah. I'm totally going to butcher this model.
They had a Volkswagen Fox.
They had one squared body Volvo that came out that was really cool, and that was their most popular selling Volvo of all time. But like this one right here, like anything that's boxy with that kind of off-rugged look, like even the Jimny, it's tiny. If you put it next to a G-Wagon, it looks like a toy. but it still outsells everything. They're in Europe, they're in Asia, they're in Mexico, but for some reason we can't get them here in the United States. So
I think it's because of crash testing, right? They won't hold up to NAS, whatever, you know, the American.
Yeah, I think standard. The reason why they're 12 to 14 grand is there's no curtain airbags. There's no side airbags. You got the driver and passenger airbag. The rest of that, pretty much you die like men. So if you roll over, you're pretty much toast. So
crumple zone? Yes. The crumple zone is from the front bumper to the rear bumper.
So no rollover protection. But, I mean, just an amazing car. I've seen so many videos on those. If you guys get a chance to, in the comment section below, let us know what you guys think of the Jeep. The Suzuki Jimny. I think it's probably the coolest cheap SUV on the market. I'd love to get one.
Man, all right, we got to see one of those pop up on the on one of these auctions. All right, guys, listen to Lucky. He knows what he's talking about. Comment below. Let us know what you think of the results of this auction. And we're going to be back probably tomorrow with a new video. So go check out Lucky's channel. Watch a bunch of his stuff. Go watch some old nerds.
Thank you, Lucky.
Thanks again for hanging out with us this week, Lucky. We will see you guys tomorrow. Bye.